Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And my name is Jeff Jackson. Hey, Brian, what's going on, man?
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing
well. Today's a day of technical difficulties.
Oh, yes.
I may or may not edit this part out, but, but I got to somehow make light of it so we can get through this show today.
All right.
Hey, Jeff. Tell us about your travels, Jeff. You were in Asia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was. I actually spent a week in Thailand and then a week in the Philippines. In Thailand, I was with a number of people that serve in Southeast Asia, and then in the Philippines with people that work and serve within the Philippines. And I was really blessed to have Tim Dabney travel with me on this trip, which is actually becoming a regular thing now. I like traveling with him. Tim's our security manager, ministry security manager. And so he's always a blessing to travel with and a blessing to those I go to visit.
How is he a blessing to those you visit?
Well, you know, Tim has got, you know, a unique skill set and a unique experience in life. He spent 30 years in law enforcement and was a chief of police and has received, you know, high level training with the FBI. And you know, when he travels with you, I sort of just stumble around, not paying attention to where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'm sort of like just the Forrest Gump of guys that travel. And Tim is watching things and seeing things that I don't normally see. So he's a blessing, you know, for me personally to travel with. But the guy is just nails when it comes to speaking into missionaries' lives and getting them to think about security, personal safety, and those kind of issues.
Those are the kinds of things when you go into the mission field. Of course, when going to another country, you're thinking, I may get persecuted while I'm out there. But persecution and personal safety are two different issues, aren't they?
Yes, they really are. In fact, Shepherd Staff, primarily because of Tim, you know, we're part of a sort of an organization of the security people from other major global missions organizations. And he was telling me that they have a line, you know, within that organization from the guys that do what he does. And the basic line is, yeah, our responsibility and our goal is to keep our global servants safe so they can be persecuted. And when you first hear that, you're kind of like, what? And the reality of it is, you know, Tim says that most of the things that missionaries experience in the realm of safety issues and so forth is kind of self-inflicted. They weren't prepared. They hadn't thought things through. Accidents happen that could have been prevented. You know, don't go withdraw your money at an ATM machine and stand there in front of the machine and count it with people standing behind you. You know, just common sense stuff. And so what these guys basically have come to the conclusion is, hey, their responsibility is to help missionaries think about their personal safety, target hardening, you might say, have plans, contingency planning for if something goes sideways. How are you going to get out of the country if you need to get out, if you need to shelter in place? What needs to be done for that to be in place? How are you going to communicate to those that care about you if the country goes sideways and they want to know about you? The reality of it is, you know, if you're robbed or whatever, that's not really persecution. That's more sometimes a lack of awareness and a lack of preparation.
Yeah, I mean, you can't spiritualize those strategies away.
Not at all. Not at all. And we tend to do that. We tend to think that anything that goes wrong in a missionary's life, we throw it under the category of persecution when it's not. Sometimes it can just be ignorance or stupidity, mm-hmm, even. Mm-hmm. And so Tim and the guys that work in that realm, they're really big on that. And so, you know, to be able to have him speak into their lives, get them to see things through eyes that they don't normally see things through, and then give them practical advice on how to, you know, keep themselves safe is important.
You know, the Bible tells us, Paul actually tells us to, you know, walk circumspectly in Ephesians, you know, to be always looking around you. And there, you know, obviously in that text, Paul's talking about, you know, in a spiritual sense, but guys like you and guys like me that have had some military training, guys like Tim, mm-hmm, when we see that walk circumspectly, it brings to mind, you know, certain, yes, training that we went through, and that it's so very important to be watching what we're doing, because, you know, Americans are targets wherever we go.
Yeah, we're very much targets, and not because, usually of our Christianity because we're Christians,
right.
but because we're Americans,
right.
we're viewed as wealthy. We know, they know we have access, or we have resources and access to resources. And so a lot of it can just be avoided with a lot of common sense planning and preparation.
And honestly, we Americans, we walk around very, very safe here at home. And we're not as safe when we travel. We're just not.
Yeah, we're not. And not only are we not as safe, but again, realizing that when you live in another country, if an incident does happen, you know, they probably don't have 911.
Mm.
And you know, here something happens and the cops or the fire department doesn't show up in 10 minutes after you call 911, you're ready to start a lawsuit against the city. Whereas overseas, it's not just that the incidents happen. How you respond to those incidents is very limited. The access to resources you have is very limited. So it's an important subject. It's an important area that every missionary needs to take seriously. And Tim is the guy that helps us to help them do that.
Cool, cool. Well, I do know that Tim has been on the podcast with you before and that we have other
Yes.
content on our website that talks about security and contingency planning and things like that. And so we'll make sure we have those resources in the show notes.
Absolutely.
What else did you do while you're over there traveling with Tim Dabney, your bodyguard?
One of the things, you know, I think whenever I come back from a trip, I always try to think through, you know, what was the main takeaway. And I think in this trip, it was common to other trips, but it really stood out to me this time. The idea of communication, of how discouraged or dry a missionary can be on their post where God has them stationed to represent him, how they need encouragement and the blessing a visit is from somebody back home. The idea of the need for them to communicate with people back in the States, that became very clear to me one more time.
You were in the field as a missionary. I know that when I was in the field, communicating with people back home was the highlight of the day. At the time, we didn't live any place that had power, cell phones, or electricity, but we were able to download email through sat phones, and that was the part of the day I looked forward to, was hearing from home and then answering those emails. And that was technology when I was in the mission field. Tell me about technology when you were on the mission field.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, before we went to the field, of course, I talked to a lot of other missionaries, had read about missions and so forth. And all of them made the same point, the idea that, look, you're going to be out of sight, therefore out of mind. And so it's absolutely crucial for you to keep yourselves connected to the people that know and love you back here. It's your responsibility to keep them informed.
It's part of your job description now, missionary.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, some of them just said, look, you've got to set apart, just put it in your mind. You're going to spend 5 hours a week communicating to the people back home, and you will reap the benefits of that. And so, you know, and one of the things that they emphasized to me was the truth of Proverbs 25:25, which says, you know, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And they said, look, when you're over there, you know, your communication is crucial, not just for your support and not just for, you know, for you to receive prayer from those that know and love you, but you have to view your communication from the field as giving the people back home a glass of cold water to thirsty souls. And at first, that was kind of, you know, it was kind of like, that's an interesting angle that I haven't thought about before. And then, you know, I started to think about it. I started to talk about it with other people. And what I found is that, you know, here in America, my brothers and sisters, you know, life in America is fast-paced. It's routine. Everything is familiar. And even though they're part of a church, maybe they go to a home fellowship, they have a devotional time, you know, life can be, in a sense, dry here. And there can be this thirst. And to really grasp the idea that when you write a letter from a far country and you kind of explain to people back home what's going on, what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, that can be like a glass of cold water to them, because they're seeing faith lived out and experiences taking place in somebody they know and care about that they've never had. And it can reinvigorate them back here.
I had a friend over yesterday that preceded me to the mission field. And I just remember whenever I heard from those guys were kind of superheroes. They were rock stars. They feel like very normal people. Missionaries,
yes.
as they get into their routine, their life become routine. But to those that are back home, those guys have, you know, missionaries have obeyed Christ, and they seem, you know, I don't know if that's the reality, but they seem to be a little far along on the path. And so hearing from those guys really, really has some impact.
It really does. And it is the missionary's responsibility to do that. And I think if we can get missionaries to see that there's a larger purpose in communicating with those back home than just raising support and keeping people praying for you. Yes, those things are crucial. That connection to those that know and love you back home is absolutely crucial. And you giving them information is crucial. But to see it from the angle of, you know, it's not just that. It's a glass of fresh water to them.
Yeah.
And can really encourage them and maybe even get them to see their job, their routine, their neighbors in a new way, because you're describing what you're experiencing, you know, overseas, and it's totally radically different to them, but it may give them new lenses to see things through.
Okay. So that's a message to missionaries. What about to folks back home who love missionaries or are sending missionaries or are caring for missionaries?
Well, you know, talking about old school, you know, when I went out pre-internet, in fact, fax machines came out while I was on the field. So that's how long ago it was. People in my home church, key people, we loved to hear from them, and they loved to communicate with us. And they would do things like, you know, I don't even know if people listening to this remember cassette tapes, but people would record a home fellowship. They would have a cassette recorder there, and they would record the worship, and then everybody in the group would say, "Hey, Jeff and Helen, we want you to listen in to our home Bible study tonight." And so we got to worship with them, you know, listening. We got to listen to the Bible study, and then they would each give us a little personal greeting, you know, put that sucker in the mail, real mail, and send it. And 3 weeks later, you know, we would have a little note in our post office box in Cebu that we had a package, and we'd have to go over to the customs part of the post office building and pick up our package, which was a cassette tape. And,
wow.
You know, from the missionary side of it, it's important to understand, you know, to communicate with those back home, but those back home need to recognize it's important for them to communicate, because Proverbs 25:25 applies to them too.
Mm-hmm.
For the missionary, they're in a far country. And when the missionary hears from those in a far country that they know and love what's going on there, that good news can be a glass of fresh water to the missionary in the midst of his trials and struggles on the field.
And let me just say this to you folks that might be listening that go to church, or you're a pastor at a church communicating with missionaries. When you're on the mission field, you do not feel as far away as you do when you're on the mission field. I mean, America seems so far away.
Absolutely.
Because it is so different, and life is just completely different than you're used to. I mean, a lot of things are the same, but for the most part, you're not connected to your home fellowship. I mean, as you described that home fellowship, Jeff, that's the home fellowship I want to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have a hard time leaving a home fellowship like that to go into the mission field. But yeah, I can just imagine receiving communication from a group like that, how refreshing it would be.
And even with, you know, and again, the leap of technology is, dude, they can be in a home fellowship by Skype. You can put a laptop in the center of a home fellowship and have somebody just turn it, you know, around, and you know, your missionary can sit there and listen to it. Of course, it's a different time of the day, or you can record it. But yeah, technology has made communication so much easier. And I think the main thing, you know, as far as my the trip, you know, that takeaway is, and again, just the beauty of what I call reciprocity, where, you know, God and the essence of his being is a triune God. He exists in relation with himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And there's this love that flows between the members of the Godhead, this other focused love that's reciprocated among the members of the Godhead. And then he creates us in his image and likeness, and he's created us to be in connection with other people. And this idea of communication from the missionary to the home church, from the home church to the missionary, it's a reciprocity. It's a cycle. It's a circle. Mm-hmm. And there's such mutual blessing and benefit that comes when communication flows both ways. that you just can't, you can't underestimate
it. There's a rhythm to it too.
There's a rhythm to it. Absolutely.
It's like table tennis. It's like I hit the ball to you, you hit the ball to me. I hit the ball to you, you hit the ball to me. And when that's the ball right. stopped moving, that's when the game's over. You got to keep the ball moving.
Right. And yeah. And if the ball doesn't keep moving, then what you'll have is the out of sight, out of mind kind of situation. And there's a severing. There's a severing of some tethers of relationship there. Communication is the key to keep those tethers connected. Absolutely.
Jeff, you're a writer. I heard you say something about community, communication.
Yes.
Break that down.
Okay. Well, you know, in my, when I was in the military, I was in electronic warfare. It was all about communication. Mm-hmm. You know, classified communication, spying on the enemy, you might say, kind of stuff. But nice. Just the idea of communication. And so over the years, you know, when I do pre-marriage counseling, when I do marriage counseling, when I'm training missionaries, when I'm preparing people to contextualize the gospel, the idea of the word communication is thrown around all the time. And what I like to do is kind of give people the root of the word. Our English word communication comes from the Latin root word communis, C-O-M-M-U-N-I-S, communis. And the core concept of communis in Latin is the idea of making common. The idea is that you own, you possess, you have control over something. And what you do is you put it out there so that other people can possess it in the same way that you do. You take what you have, you make it common. And so that's at the root of our idea of communication. It's at the root of community. It's at the root of communism. And in the church, the idea of communion. What are we doing when we take communion? It's a group of people, a community of people coming together and deepening their bonds with each other because of what they have in common. The fact that God himself, through the Son, came and unveiled himself and demonstrated his love and paid the price for us. And now we together possess in common the beauty of the God who came to die for us. And communion reminds us of that. So for missionaries, for those that communicate with missionaries, the idea of, and the great value of saying, I have this experience, I've had these thoughts, I want to pass this on to you and make them common so you can possess them in the same way that I do. And the beauty of what you just, the point you just made with ping pong, it's a great analogy, is that you don't know if communication has actually taken place unless there's reciprocity. I don't know that I've communicated just by telling you certain facts and information. If you can't turn around and tell me the facts and information I just gave you, then you haven't possessed them. I haven't made them common in an effective way, and communication hasn't taken place. Communication by its very nature demands reciprocity.
You know, you've taken us through so many levels of communication in just this short time. You've taken us through, you know, the very practical, the necessity, mm-hmm. the sacred,
yes.
the you know, the theological about God and, you know, and the Godhead, mm-hmm. and I can think of one other very practical form of communication that we, you know, when we read our Bibles, we don't even think of it as practical. We think of it as, you know, sacred communication. But I'm thinking about, you know, most of the New Testament was written by a missionary to supporters, or, you know, from a missionary to missions outposts he planted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we tend to, again, and our culture feeds this, we tend to read the epistles as if they're lectures given by a professor, and a classroom of people are sitting there listening to this professor mm-hmm. pass on information about doctrine and so forth. That's not what they are. They contain that stuff, but those epistles are letters from a missionary to people that know and love him in churches. And as, oh yeah, he talks about the importance of doctrine and how you should live and what you shouldn't be doing. But he opens up his heart too. He talks about his struggles. He talks about his trials. He says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 1, we were burdened beyond despair. You know, we despaired even of life. And to view the epistles as letters from missionaries and Paul making common what he's experiencing, is it gives the New Testament, those epistles, a fresh perspective.
Mm. So, I mean, those aren't TED Talks. They'd make great TED Talks, but they're not TED Talks. They're actual letters from a friend to friends.
Yeah, and you know, some of those letters at the end, you know, he talks about, hey, you know, say hi to this family, and Stephanus and Fortunatus are here with me, and man, they bless me on your behalf. And dude, it's missionary communication from the field.
Right.
We don't want to make it something and that it's not, and then say that's all it is.
You know, I think the where I want to end with you here, Jeff, is just looking at that verse again, where it says, you know, cool water is refreshing. The reason cool water is so refreshing is that it's a necessity. You got to have it.
You got to have it. Yeah. Yeah. And because God has set up the universe in a constant state of change, the only thing that doesn't change is God himself. So he's wired into what he's created change. It's easy to fall, you know, you can fall into a pattern or routine. But when we hear of something different or foreign or out of our ordinary realm of experience, it exhilarates us. God's wired us to be exhilarated with that which is a little different than what we normally know and have become accustomed to.
And it comes from outside ourselves, from somebody else's self.
Yeah, and it's kind of proven, you know, especially with God's word, where, you know, you'll read a text today and it'll just resonate with you from one angle, and you read that same text a month from now, and there's something totally different that resonates with you because you're at a different position of life. So yeah, we need news from people that are not in our same context, and it helps us and encourages us in so many ways. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I think that in the near future, we've talked a lot about, you know, the thinking behind communication and probably some strategies and for executing communications is something that we should do in the near future.
Absolutely. I think we should do that and point people again back to some of our materials, you know, on security, some of the stuff Tim's done, maybe do some fresh stuff with Tim too.
And then also we've got a ton of information on our resources portion of our website about communication. And we'll point listeners to that in the notes for this podcast. So thanks a bunch for this, Jeff.
God bless you, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to Facilitating the Mission today. In this edition, we talked about security on the field and communication. To access more about these topics, check out today's show notes. Go to ssmfi.org/coolwater. That's where you'll find them.